All right, if you got your Bible this morning, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, does your spiritual life need a time of refreshing? Does your spiritual life need a time of refreshing? I know in everyday life for us, there comes a time sometimes where we'll stop and say, you know, I just need to do a little tidying up around here. This old house needs a little refreshment. You know, or maybe it's a yard and we say, you know, we're going to work our flower beds and just give it a facelift and time of refreshing as we deal with it. Maybe it's at the office or your place of work that you come in and decide that it's time to spruce this place up. I want to talk to you about sprucing up your spiritual life and what the Lord has for us in that. We're going to read verse 19, and I'm going to back up and quickly carry you through some things to set the stage for what the Lord's doing. But in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Quickly, somebody tell me, how are we going to refresh our spiritual life? Who do we need to help us with that refreshing? The Lord. That's exactly right. Now, Jesus is doing with the scribes and the Pharisees and all the folks, and he's having a time, you know, getting an opportunity where he can speak with them like we get very few opportunities. I tell folks all the time, you know, I get an opportunity at funerals to speak to folks that I may not ever get another opportunity to speak to them. That'll come to a funeral but won't come to anything else in their lives. And this is the way I see Jesus here. Peter and John, the scripture says, went up into the temple at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, to pray. And a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Here was a man that was lame, and they had to carry him, and each day they carried him to the gate. It's called Beautiful, the porch there. And the reason they took him there was because it was a beautiful entrance into the temple, and it was an opportunity for them to see more people there than they would see at any other place, to beg of or ask alms. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for an alms. It was considered the right thing to do when someone was in need to give them a coin. And so this high-profile lame man lay in the most obvious place that he could lay and asked for as much alms as he could ask from everybody that came by. When he asked of Peter and John, scripture says that Peter fastened his eyes on him and said unto him, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He was of the opinion that the only thing that they had anything to give was a coin. And so therefore, when they said, "Fasten your eyes upon him," and he said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The miracle has been performed. Peter and John have given the order, rise up and walk. And he said, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. The miracle was an obvious thing. Here was a lame man that was carried and put at the gate called Beautiful every day. And he begged alms day after day. Everybody in the city knew him. They knew his plight. They knew what was going on in his heart and his life. And the scripture says here that they knew that it was he, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. What Peter and John was desiring to do was get the attention of the people so that Peter could share the gospel with them. His idea, his thought worked to do what he did in calling upon the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to get the attention of the people. Now let's see what happens as it took place. This great crowd of folks is here. They're standing there in wonder and amazement at what has happened. Verse 12 says, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? It was not us. He said, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let them go. Now, watch how quickly Peter shifted gears. He went from healing a lame man to being able to preach to those that were gathered around in wonder and amazement of the miracle that he had just done. And how did Peter tell them their sin and wrong in their hearts and their lives? Listen to him carefully. Peter said to him, men, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. He puts their sin right back in their court. They had reached a point and a place just 7 days prior to this. What has taken place? Jesus come riding into Jerusalem on a colt. They breaking off palm branches, taking off their coats and laying them on the road and crying Hosanna to the King. And then in a few short days, he reminds them here, you went from praising him to crucifying him, crying, crucify him, crucify him, when Pilate was determined that he's going to let him go. Verse 14 said, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to to be granted unto you. They swapped Jesus for who? Barabbas. Barabbas, a known murderer, deserver of the sentence that he received, but Jesus had done nothing. He said, but you denied the Holy One and the Just One. You'd rather have a murderer, Barabbas, than you had the Prince of Life. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. They may have been standing afar off, but Peter, John was right there with him, but Peter stood afar off. They watched and they witnessed what was taking place and the life of him. Raised him from the dead. He said, you killed him, but God raised him from the dead. And we are his witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. How did he order the man to rise and walk? He told him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He didn't say in the name of Peter and John. He didn't say in the name of the temple there in Jerusalem. He didn't say in the name of the beautiful porch. He didn't say in any of those things. He said in the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he said his name through faith in his name hath made him strong. Whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Come to the point and a place that what made the difference in the life of this young man? His faith. His faith. When Peter reached out his hand and ordered him to arise and walk, if he had denied that, if he had have said, gentlemen, I'm sorry, but I can't help myself. I'm lame. I've been in this situation all my life. Somebody has to carry me. Somebody has to come back and get me. Somebody has to help me all the way through life. Scripture says, here in verse 17, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Peter said, I'm not holding you accountable for this. I know that you did it in ignorance. But he said, I also know that your rulers staged these things to cause confusion. Because everywhere Jesus went, everything he did, what did he do? They followed him around. What was they looking for? Something they could find fault with him about, wasn't he, in their hearts and their lives. And he said, I know that it was through ignorance that you did it. But verse 18 starts off with a very powerful word there. What's that word? But. I understand all this other. But. Those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. He carries him all the way back to Moses, and he brings him forth, and he goes through prophet after prophet after prophet, and the prophet's only a what? Messenger of God, isn't he? Doing what the Lord tells him to do, saying what the Lord tells him to say in his heart and his life. And he said, by the mouth of all of his prophets, they each and every one foretell the coming of the Messiah, which the Jew was looking for and desiring so much in their hearts and their lives. And he said, by the mouth of all of his prophets, Christ should suffer. The end result was he's going to be nailed to a cross. He's going to die a sinless death for the sins of sorry old you and I. He hath so fulfilled. Jesus did that. He came. He lived that sinless life. He went to that cross. He died. He was buried in that tomb. He arose 3 days later. He ascended back to the Father out there. And Peter's telling these folks what? I'm a witness of this. I saw this. I know what transpired. And he used the opportunity of this lame man to gather this crowd so he could tell them what they needed to do in their hearts and their lives. And I want you to listen to the simple explanation that Peter gives them of what they need to do in order to know that they are a child of God. He said in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Repent. You know, admit to God that you're a sinner. Be converted. Turn and head in a new direction. That your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When is the time of our refreshing going to come? When the Lord comes to get us, isn't it? When he rearranges this scenario and takes his church out, the bride, and carries them to be with him in glory. Now, here's where the Israelites was having, this is where Peter wanted to go with this. And his refreshing. Follow me closely here. I'll try to quickly put this into perspective here. In verse 20 he said, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world begun." Who's he going to send? Jesus. When's he coming? We don't know. But we know what? He's coming again, isn't he? And it said, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution. What is restitution? You pay back for the damage you've done, the hurt that you've caused, the illnesses. He said, until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. He went all the way back to Adam, and he come all the way forward with people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Joshua. You just keep naming Old Testament prophets. It carried the mail of what Jesus wanted them to say in their hearts and their lives concerning this. Verse 22, he said, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." Who is this prophet that the Lord God's going to raise up? His son Jesus, isn't it? And he said, him shall you hear. Why do you think Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples and all the crowds that would come from everywhere, meet their physical needs as well as their spiritual needs, and giving them a refreshing in their hearts and their lives concerning things? What do you want them to know? That he was an opportunity for them to trust as his Lord and Savior. What he would have them to do here, he said, listen to him. Hear what he says. And he preached and he preached and he preached. Time and time again, he taught them what the Father would have him to share. And then in verse 23, it says, "And it shall come to pass." What does that mean? It shall come to pass. It's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. Which will not, that every soul which will not hear the prophets shall be destroyed from among the people. Any of those that refuse to trust him as Lord and Savior will be destroyed from among the people. I've told you time and time again, where God is, something can't be. What is it? Unconfessed sin. That's right. It comes to a time and a place in our lives we have to ask the Lord. We have to do what he said in verse 19. Repent and say to God, I'm a sinner. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Blot them out so that you can have that time of refreshing. He said in verse 24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Every one of the Old Testament prophets, from Samuel on, and you know that Samuel was the greatest, I believe, and their prophecy and stuff, they all foretold what the Jew was expecting out of, and they thought perhaps could have been Jesus. A lot of them thought it was Joshua and the ministry he had and whatever. But they were looking for and longing for who? The coming of the Messiah. You know, if we could have a time of refreshing in our lives today, I think the thing that would motivate that to give us that unct to do a makeover and clean up our act a little bit and do what the Lord would have us to do in our hearts is to simply do what he said here. All the prophets that followed after Samuel have done likewise in telling the coming of the Messiah, the hope that they have. They thought it was going to be a kingdom set up here. They didn't understand it was going to be a kingdom set up with God himself. Listen to what he says in closing out here. He said, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. The seed of who? Abraham. Setting up that bloodline to get down to David, son of Jesse, to carry on that bloodline to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's saying, in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up your son, Jesus, send him to bless you and turn in away every one of you from his iniquity. What was the need for Jesus to come? So that we could have a spiritual refreshing in that we trust him to be our Lord and Savior. Repent and be converted, that our sins could be blotted out. It doesn't matter what we do in or how we do it in our lives. If we're not doing it out of the way of the Lord and his showing us what he would have us to do in our lives, we better do some checking up. There's not but one way, and that's God's way. You know, many people offer a lot of remedies and stuff. But seriously, my life, your life, couldn't we use a little sprucing up? Couldn't we use a little spiritual refreshing and letting the Lord be the Lord of our lives? How am I going to do that, Brother Larry? There's not but one way. You and the Lord got to have a little talk. Me and the Lord's got to have a little talk. Every one of us, personal, it's one-on-one, it's between you and God. His son Jesus is the one that died for you. It wasn't Brother Larry. It wasn't the church. It was Jesus. Went to that cross. Died for us on that cross that we could have life. The assurance of an eternity with him one day. But you know, just like this bunch of scribes and Pharisees here, immediately if you kept on in Acts, you find out What are they going to do? Everything in their power to destroy the name of Jesus. What's people doing today in this world around about us today? Same thing's happening, isn't it? There's those that wants more than anything else to stamp out the cause of Jesus. But if we sit back and let that happen, folks, in our hearts and our lives, you know what's going to happen? Our spiritual refreshing is going to get sour, sour, sour. And we're going to join the ways of the world. First thing you know, we're right back out there where we were. Would you pray with me? Father, I know in my life I need that spiritual refreshing. I need a new outlook on life. I need a realization that says to me that Jesus is coming again. And there's a little song we sing, soon and very soon, I believe. He's going to call out his church. And he's going to give each one of us an opportunity to make an account of ourselves for the things that we've done in our body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. But the question is, have we ever been forgiven of it? Have we ever repented and asked God to refresh our spiritual lives to a new one that says, I take Jesus as my Savior? Speak to our hearts, God. Deal with us. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, brother.